You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So the first part of our Bible reading this morning is found on page 738, the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, starting from verse 1. So that's right at the top left. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Awake, awake, clothe yourself with strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days gone by, as in generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced that monster through? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made a road in the depths of the sea, so that the redeemed might cross over? The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor, who is bent on destruction? For where is the wrath of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God, who churns up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I, who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. Amen.
The second half of our reading this morning, and Elizabeth is kind of going to bring that to us. Thanks, Elizabeth.
So the second half of our reading is on page 739, where we're reading from Isaiah 51, verse 17, through to verse 12 of Isaiah 52. Awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem. You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, you who have drained its dregs, the goblet that makes men stagger. Of all the sons she bore, there was none to guide her. Of all the sons she brought up, there was none to take her by the hand. These double calamities have come upon you. Who can comfort you? Ruin and destruction, famine and sword, who can console you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like antelope caught in a net. They are filled with the wrath of the Lord and the rebuke of your God. Therefore, hear this, you afflicted one, made drunk, but not with wine. This is what your sovereign Lord says, your God, who defends his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, who said to you, fall prostrate that we may walk over you. And you made your back like the ground, like a street to be walked over. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The circumcised and undefiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first, my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately, Assyria has oppressed them. And now, what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings and proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart. Depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Great. Well, do take your seats. And yeah, if you want to have the talk outline in front of you and have your Bibles open to page 738, that's going to be helpful, I hope. But we're going to begin this morning by playing Guess the Tune. All right, so here we go. Guess the Tune. Maybe not what you were thinking. Anybody know who it is? No, it's not Vivaldi. Oh. It's this boy. Here we go. This is J.S. Bach. There we go. And this is, it's called a cantata called Watchet Auf. Now, my German pronunciation there might not be very good. I did do GCSE German, okay? But there we go. You can ask me about that later. It means sleepers awake, okay? Now, bear with me, because Bach was inspired by a hymn writer who was a German pastor called Philip Nicolai during a plague in 1597. And in this plague, more than 1,400 people died, right? Pastor Nicolai lived in a world of death, but he looked beyond his surroundings, found in the gospel a certain hope, and he gave it to his people in the form of this hymn called, those two words there. Now, it was this hymn that Bach developed into his own cantata, which is a song of hope, right? Even joy in suffering. And in today's passage in Isaiah, okay, there is an urgency to wake up and to listen, to pay attention. God's people have been suffering. They're in exile. They've seen a lot of death. But there is hope. Now, for some people, I've got to acknowledge, classical music sends them to sleep. For others, they love it. And today, we're going to be thinking about listening and staying awake. Okay? So to help with that, I've got a six-point sermon. Woohoo! Yes, I genuinely have. But we're going to keep it moving, and I'm praying it's going to be helpful. So anyway, as we come to God's word this morning, let's pray and ask for his help. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us today. Please help us to understand it by your Spirit, and please help us to be alert and awake and to listen and do what you say through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, so do have Isaiah open in front of you. Like I say, we're going to look at this passage in six chunks, but I'm going to keep it moving. And in the passage, okay, so have it open, it's on page 738, we're given three calls to listen in verse 1 and in verse 4 and in verse 7 that kind of introduce short paragraphs of really great encouragement. And they're each rooted in God's unchanging character and his eternal purposes. We've already thought, haven't we, today, that God doesn't change at all. And then we're given three wake-up calls in verse 9, in verse 17, and at the start of chapter 52. The first of those three wake-up calls is addressed to God himself, and the next two to his people. Now, we need to listen to God's wake-up call because this is serious stuff about who God is and what he's done. There's quite a lot in the passage. So as we're going through, there's some questions on the right-hand side of your handout. And as we're going through, just think, maybe just pick one of those questions as we're going through that particularly strikes or challenges you. So let's dive in and have a look at our first chunk, okay? Verses 1 to 3, listen. God keeps his promises. Now, these verses, like I say, are written to God's people who are in exile. They're known as a righteous remnant. Okay? I'll explain what that means. But last week, when we were looking in Isaiah 49, Isaiah was prophesying to the people what it would be like when they were in exile in Babylon. When they're taken from their home as a punishment for how they've rejected God and his holiness. Now, these verses in Isaiah 51 are written to those who've kept the faith even when they're in exile. Because God always promised that there would be those who would remain faithful. People who would keep trusting him even when they're thrown out of the land. And they're called the remnant. So look down to Isaiah 51 verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. That's the remnant. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Those in the remnant, called here, those who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, who've not given up on the one who's given them life, the rock from which they were cut out, look what they're to do. Look down to verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. Those in the remnant are encouraged by a word from the past, recalling God's faithfulness to Abraham, who, do you remember, way back from Genesis, believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, because in Abraham's case, God overruled in the most unpromising of circumstances. And in his and his wife Sarah's old age, God gave them a baby boy, Isaac. It was never going to happen. But God could do it because he was keeping his promises. Then look down to verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. God is again going to do what looks completely unlikely. He's going to restore Zion. And if you remember, as we've been looking through the book of Isaiah, we've been saying that every single one of God's promises, 100% of them will come true. We're told that all the way through Scripture. And we love stories of underdogs, don't we? Where seemingly the impossible happens. Well, just put yourselves in the shoes of those oppressed people who've been exiles to Babylon, that remnant. They looked like the underdogs, didn't they? But here, God is saying, listen, you guys, I keep my promises, you will be restored. So, Christian, here this morning, listen. We're living as aliens, is kind of the Bible name for it, but nobody's got a green face here this morning. We're living as aliens in this land. This isn't our home, heaven is. And God will get us there. Sorry about that. That wasn't meant to keep you awake, but you know, it keeps with the flow of the sermon, doesn't it? Yeah. God will get us there to heaven, however unlikely you think it looks, because he's faithful to all of his promises. God keeps his promises. Are you trusting him to keep them? We're going to move on. See, that's the first chunk done already. Everyone still awake? I think we are. That's good. Okay. Well, secondly, verses 4 to 6. Listen, God will bring justice. In these verses, verses 4 to 6, God's covenant community are reminded that he's going to bring justice to the nations. And can you remember what justice means? Justice for the nations is more than people being treated fairly and justly. But that is important to God. But it's much more than that, okay? Justice for the nations means people across the world putting their trust in God and therefore living rightly. It's a big picture from God. It's about God bringing his salvation to his people. And this is what God wants to remind his people. So again, we're commanded to listen in verse 4. So we're going to read verses 4 to 6 again, but see, as we do that, see if you can spot justice and salvation. So verse 4, listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. These verses look forward to what God is going to do as his arm, in verse 5, will bring justice to the nations. Who is God's arm? It's the servant. Remember who we were introduced to back in Isaiah 42? And who we thought about last week in the second servant song that we had in Isaiah 49? And who we're going to learn more of as we get to Isaiah 53? It's the servant who's going to bring justice to the nations, who's going to bring salvation. And we know who the servant is, don't we? It's Jesus. God's plan is to bring justice to the nations through his son. And God's covenant people who were in exile needed to hear this. And so do we in Buxton in 2017. Because we can quickly forget it. But we mustn't. That's why we need to listen. And verse 5 to 6 show us that the Lord is on the march to bring about an eternal rescue for his people, which is going to satisfy his never-failing righteousness. And it's really amazing to think how God's righteousness is satisfied as he brings salvation. You see, God can't just say, oh, do you know what? Don't worry about that sin. That one doesn't matter. No, sin does matter. It's serious. But he's provided a way by which our sins can be paid for. Jesus' death on the cross. That's what we're going to be remembering as we have the Lord's Supper together. But it's God's rescue that satisfies his justice. God will bring justice to the nations, and the only way justice will come is through his servant, Jesus. So if you've not put your trust in Jesus, you won't experience salvation, that justice for yourself. So listen, God keeps his promises and brings justice. So put your trust in him. Have you done that? And are you continuing to trust him for your salvation? Now, thirdly, okay, we get another instruction to listen, but this one's worded a bit differently. This time it's hear me, okay, in verses 7 to 8. Hear me, do not fear men. So look at verse 7. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. So these verses, like I've said, they're directed at, again, to the remnant who are seeking to live as God wants. They're exhorting and encouraging them not to fear men and their temporary opposition, because the challenges and the opposition they face is not going to last. In verse 8b, so that's the second half of verse 8, there's an echo of verse 6. The Lord reminds his people again about the eternal permanence of his righteous salvation. It's not going to fail. So don't fear people or opposition, because God will bring salvation. So Christian, here this morning, in a country where it's increasingly hard to live as a Christian, don't fear opposition. Keep going, proclaiming Christ as Lord, gently and respectfully, but in a clear way. When you, not if you, but when you face opposition, remember, don't fear men. Don't be terrified by their insults. God will right every wrong. He will bring judgment. His righteousness will last forever, and salvation will come. So do not fear. Here we go. We're halfway through, okay? So it's time to play the music again. Make sure you're still with me. Stay awake or wake up. That is the theme of our next three sections, okay? So, verse 9 to 16 is awake, awake. Clothe yourself with strength. So look down at verse 9. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself with strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in days gone by, as in generations of old. Now, this first awake, awake section is directed to the arm of the Lord. Okay? That's what we see in verse 9. Who's the arm of the Lord? Remember, it's the servant. And we know that's Jesus. By saying this through the prophet Isaiah, God is saying salvation is coming. His arm will be revealed. So we're going to look at the rest of this section and see how the arm of the Lord is going to be clothed with strength and see what he's going to do. So from verse 9b onwards, it says this. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced that monster through? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over? The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Here, this section reminds God's people in exile about their escape from Egypt to the promised land through the Red Sea. In verse 9b, where it says Rahab, that's a way of referring to Egypt, okay? God saved his people from Egypt. He dried up the sea so that they could cross through. And God brought salvation then, didn't he? And he's going to bring it again. This time, through the strength of the arm of the Lord, who is the servant. What great news that is. And we're in a really privileged position because we've got the full story. We can see in full what Isaiah could only see in part. We know how God worked out his rescue plan through his servant, through the cross of Christ. And we were thinking about it a bit more as we come to the last half of Isaiah 52 and 53 in the next couple of weeks after Trinity Sunday. See, God the Father's response, the Lord, is seen in verse 12 to 16. God wants to encourage and build the faith of those who are struggling in exile. So look down to verses 12 and 13. It says, I, even I, this is the Lord talking, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction. See, there's a connection between fearing man in verse 12 and forgetting God in verse 13. To live in terror of mortal men who are like grass, who are kind of insubstantial, transient, always shows the forgetfulness of the eternal nature and sovereignty of God. When we fear people, it shows we've forgotten who God is. A kind of such forgetting is the opposite of kind of active remembering that we're called to in Scripture, which is where we're called to kind of bring truth to mind. And we have like a determination to act upon that truth we know about. This chapter and passage is a great example of this, of our need to remember, to listen, to wake up, and to smell the coffee. You see, that's what people say, isn't it? When someone just can't see the reality of the situation. Wake up and smell the coffee, can't you see? Well, that's what we need to do about God and his sovereignty. He's in charge. He will bring salvation. And we should fear him, not the people around us. In this section, we see that Yahweh is the creator who has all things under his sovereign control. He liberates the captives and feeds the hungry in verse 14. He rules the uncontrollable sea and is the Lord of hosts of heaven. He's the Almighty in verse 15. He reveals himself to his people in his word and brings them into a personal relationship. He says, my people. That's the expression of his will. That's verse 16. This God does not need to be woken up because he is already active in accomplishing his sovereign purposes. But it's his sleepy people who need to be awakened to recognize the realities and to pursue them in faith and godly obedience. So that's us. God brings salvation. Salvation is coming. Jesus is coming back. So listen, wake up, smell the coffee, trust him, remember him, and share him. So fifthly, let's look at the next challenge. Awake, awake, rise up, God will bring rescue. This is in verse 17 to 23. In this section, we move from God to his people. It's God's people who are to awake and to recognize that a new day of restoration is dawning after the long night of God's discipline and judgment. So verse 17 says, awake, awake, rise up, O Jerusalem. And threading through this paragraph is the theme of the cup of the wrath. The fury of God's righteous anger has been drunk in the experience of the exile. That's what verses 17 to 20 tell us. But now that same cup is being removed from God's people and instead becomes the experience of your tormentors, those who've been opposing God's people. And this is the reality to which the people of God need to wake up to. So look at verse 21. Therefore, hear this, you afflicted one, made drunk but not with wine. This is what your sovereign Lord says, your God who defends his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup that made you stagger. From that cup, the goblet of my wrath, you will never drink again. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors who said to you, fall prostrate that we may walk over you. And you made your back like the ground, like a street to be walked over. See, judgment for the enemies of God is coming. That's why there's an urgency for us to wake up, to listen, and to get on with the task of sharing the good news of Jesus. Because salvation is coming. Judgment is coming too, because as we've said, sin matters. Now justice, okay, it's both a great reassurance for the Christian that God is going to right every wrong, and it's also a huge motivation for us in our evangelism, because the task is urgent. And Christian, do you see why it's an encouragement for you? It's because God's anger for us has passed, because Jesus has taken it for us on the cross. And because God is just and he doesn't change, we're not going to face it again. Wake up, put your trust in Jesus. There is much good news because he can take God's anger for you. But we need to wake up too, because judgment is coming on God's enemies. When we're in sin, we are God's enemies. So we need to make sure we share him and this amazing news with those who are lost around us. Well, finally, point six. We're nearly there. I hope this has been helpful, okay? Point six, awake, awake. Clothe yourself with strength. And this is as we get to chapter 52. These verses are a second wake-up call for God's people. As verse 17 to 23 show that God's anger has passed for his people, their challenge is now to live as God's people, as holy people. So look down at 52 verse 1. It says, awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Now, this is no easy task for God's people to assume her role as God's people as holy. That's why they're encouraged to clothe themselves with strength. Why was it not easy? Because Zion, that's Jerusalem, that's God's people, had been defiled in verse 1, enslaved in verse 2, sold in verse 3, oppressed in verse 4, and mocked in verse 5. No wonder she felt worthless. The word nothing in verse 3 and verse 5 captures it exactly. God's people had been sold for nothing and taken away for nothing. God's people in exile had been having a very hard time. And whenever God's people feel the disciplining hand of the Lord, there's always a danger of thinking, when in despair, that restoration is impossible. But it's not. Not with God. Just look at Isaiah 52, verse 7. Because another messenger appears. We're introduced to this messenger in Isaiah 40. And this messenger brings good news of peace and rescue. And it's grounded in a really key statement that your God reigns. Let's have a look at verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Just take off your socks for a moment and have a look at your feet. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But you see here, the news of God's salvation, that God's reigns, is the best news. And because of that, two things. Okay, we should be holy as God saved people. That's the first thing. And secondly, you too can have beautiful feet. If you share the good news of the gospel with people, with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors, with those who you work with, you're bringing them the best news. Is it easy? No. Can God help you? Yes. Are you meant to be sharing this good news? Yes. Because of that single central reality that our God reigns, God's broken, demoralized people can rejoice. Jerusalem will be restored, and the arm of Yahweh will exercise his sovereign power in saving grace towards all the nations. We're told that in Isaiah 52, verse 10. So just think through as we come to a close. Are there parts in your life where you know you're not being holy? Have a think. Clothe yourself with strength. Basically, seek God's help and trust him that he'll give it. And keep battling sin. And also think, who have you not shared the gospel with? Because sharing the gospel is bringing the best news ever. Well, as we come to a close, I hope you're not asleep. I hope you've been encouraged and challenged by the command to listen and to wake up. Now, there is a lot in this passage, I know that, okay? So can you look down at the handout and look at the questions down the right-hand side and circle or think about one that you need to think about most this week, perhaps to talk to someone about, or to pray through, or to look again at the passage. As Bach's composition reminds us, as this passage clearly shows us, we need to wake up. In hopeless situations, our powerful God is more than able to bring salvation. So think, in your situation now, which one of those questions is going to help you most? Have a think, and in a moment, we'll sing our next song, Awake, Awake, O Zion, which echoes words from this passage. So think about those questions, and then in a few moments, the band will lead us in our next song. Thanks.